fucking awesome. Come on, it's gonna be fucking awesome.
You know the words.
It's gonna be fucking awesome.
That's insane.
It's gonna be fucking awesome.
Yo, 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 everybody, it's Jesse Blaze Snyder, the coolest geek alive. How you doing out there? I am not awesome. I've been better. I've been sick, and my daughter was sick last week, and she got me sick, and being sick sucks. So I haven't been sleeping very good, and, you know, but the show must go on. So here I am today, and oh my God. Is everybody following this, any of the story here with, you know, Disney stock at an all-time low and, you know, Bob Iger? Let me frame a couple of these things for you in case you don't know anything about this Bob Iger and Chapek situation. Bob Iger came into the company. He did what a good CEO is supposed to do. He bought a lot of stuff. And, you know, he bought Pixar, he bought Marvel, he bought Star Wars. They had already bought the Muppets. And now he's destroyed everything. Yeah, he's destroyed everything. It's pretty good. It's pretty good right now, the feeling of seeing all of the mainstream news outlets finally embracing the fact that Bob Iger, no, he has not done a good job. I got into an argument with my friend the other day, who's a big Bob Iger fan, and I think sometimes we get blinded by, like, ideology and, you know, politics kind of thing. If we perceive somebody to be on our side, we don't, you know, necessarily evaluate what they're doing the same way because we might try the same things. But you have to be mindful of your audience. And Disney is a family brand, first and foremost. It is not an unreasonable thing for families to ask not to talk about sex on any level, any way, shape, or form. So they've been playing this little deer in the headlights thing with, you know, I don't care. It's not a big deal in my household, but they're eroding the fan base that they have as a company. And they're basically introducing a one step towards discussing sex with young children that parents don't want to have. You know, we want to have those conversations like as late as humanly possible. I mean, when it makes sense, you know, we don't want our children to be stunted in their growth or anything, but in general, we're trying to mold them as people before they start, you know, if they're boys, all of a sudden, you know, hormones kick in and they are lost forever to the sea of the hormones. You know, really as parents, you don't want to encourage any real discussion of that at that age. So it's just sort of inappropriate. It'd be one thing if they were a company that was making more adult-oriented content and all their adult-oriented content had as much sexual preference inclusion as humanly possible. But that's not what's happening. This is a family thing, and all of a sudden we're talking about sexual orientation and all the specifics of stuff. You know, generally speaking, I think I've said before, you know, I'm somewhere on that silly spectrum of the LGBT. There's just so many. It's just don't we all think it's like silly? It's gotten silly. It should be taken very seriously, like as a simple thing of like everybody should respect people's preferences, period. But like it doesn't have to become this circus of everybody, you know, just billboarding their individual proclivities that make them unique in that way. That's like a private thing. I don't like everything in my life to be about sex. I don't know if that's just me. I suspect it's a lot of people. You know, this is something that was a problem for Bob Chapek. So Disney's been playing a really dangerous game, and there's money that plays into this. And when I say Disney, it's Bob Iger, the one who's been running the ship for a few years. We had Bob Chapek, who came in to take over. And if you've been paying attention to the behind the scenes chatter about what was really going on there, it seemed that Iger thought that he had brought up a patsy to do what he wanted him to do, and he started trying to run the company, Chapek, the way that he saw fit, and he started trying to do away with some of the, I guess, quote-unquote wokeness, which has been really damaging to the brand long-term, across the board. We've seen a repudiation of what you call wokeness, with, you know, Budweiser boycott and all these other things. This stuff has been happening in the success of these films and the toys and the merchandise that they don't sell because of all these games that they're playing with all of the ideology. And, you know, recently Bob Iger came out and he said, we got to, dial down the volume of the culture war. He said something similar not long ago. He's said this multiple times. He has no interest in that. When you do interviews with him about some of this stuff, he talks about how there are some things that are just too important not to do, and I don't consider them political issues and whatever. Unfortunately, there is a very strong debate about these things, and it's a very political thing, and Bob Iger, you are destroying Disney by being partisan as a company. Your company shouldn't have any partisanship. It should just be a company for everybody and should be looking out for everybody's best interests and not making sweet deals with, there was an article that was out recently about how a certain deal that got made was all about Bob Iger getting access to the Obamas or something like that, because he has political aspirations. Political aspirations and entertainment do not go hand in hand. He's demonstrated that he is not a good creative person. Look at this situation with Pixar. The answer to the Pixar question is that they're going to make more sequels. Do you hear this? That's what they're doing with Pixar. To save Pixar, we're going to focus on sequels to existing Pixar intellectual property. So you destroyed Pixar, and now you're just going to make sequels from the corpse of Pixar? It's really just like one. A good CEO, make spin off another animation firm that's like adjacent to Pixar that's focused on making really good sequels to these things. And then let Pixar continue to do what it does, innovate with animation. I mean, it's so clear over time. You know, we were talking about, and me and my kids are watching Elementals a lot. We like Elementals. It's not Inside Out. It's not a lot of these great Pixar films, but it's good. The original, I'd rather have it's good original stuff, period, but the originality of Pixar has been lost. I mean, granted, it got lost by them getting rid of John Lasseter ages ago. If you don't know who John Lasseter is, he built Pixar from the ground up, along with Steve Jobs' involvement and various other important people there. But Lasseter was clearly a brilliant mastermind, and he did great work with Pixar. I think he's moved over to another company now. I don't remember which. And I'm sure he's going to do great work for them, because there are some people who are really brilliant and you could see it in their work. And he is one of them. Losing him completely, John Lasseter. And this was like at the height of the Me Too movement. And he kind of got Me Too'd. When you look at a lot of the allegations around surrounding him, they really, it's some light stuff. He is a brilliant dude. And that's the end. Like you need to replace him. And I don't understand. I don't know if maybe Disney is pissed off Brad Bird or Andrew Stanton, because John Carter and what was the movie? Oh, Tomorrowland, both got kind of like, well, Tomorrowland got a good promotion and whatnot, but it was a bomb for Disney, and John Carter got like tanked by Disney. But like Peter Docter, Andrew Stanton, Brad Bird, any of these guys, I think could probably step into Lasseter's shoes to some degree. But it really does seem that the reason why the quality was so good was because of him. So here we are years later, and we've got movies like Luca and Turning Red, but I don't think Luca or Turning Red is anybody's all-time favorite Pixar movie. Maybe it is. Maybe it is, and I don't know. Not Elemental either, even though Elemental was really good. Now, meanwhile, we've got Marvel. And the Marvel films, you know, going into Infinity War, even though we had the beginning of this changing into this woke kind of, premise where you clearly see that there's influence. They change Carol Danvers' mentor from being Captain Marvel, male, blonde, from the Kree planet. And they make him... a girl. They make him Annette Bening, an old lady in the simulation of her thing. And they don't honor the fact that she's not the first Captain Marvel. The first Captain Marvel was Captain Marvel. You know, they could have adapted the death of Captain Marvel. And that would have been amazing. The death of Captain Marvel, you get introduced to a Captain Marvel. You like him. He dies. Captain Marvel, Karen Danvers comes up from it. You know, that's would have been a way to introduce that character to the audience that would have made the most sense and made the audience the happiest. But that didn't happen. And after Infinity War, when things went over to the television, we definitely got a lot of this weirdness going on. I mean, they destroyed She-Hulk for like the stupidest freaking, like they clearly did not read any of the source material or gather that She-Hulk was a well-defined character in the comics that deserved to be brought to life the way that she has been depicted. She's a great character. She's optimistic and cool and grateful. And the one that they put forth in that television show is ungrateful and aggravating. And, you know, they couldn't have her get saved by Bruce Banner because these are the consistent patterns that you see within these things. In the Loki TV show, he gets kicked in the nuts like 1,000 times. I mean, literally, not like 1,000 times, and I'm making an exaggeration about multiple times throughout the series, he gets hit in the nuts. No, there's literally a scene where he's put into a reoccurring reality where Sif shows up, kicks him in the nuts, and walks away. And like, no matter what he does, she kicks him in the nuts every time. And like, you know, are you trying to tell me something? like, what's the deal with that? It's really like, it's just funny how often it's happening, the patterns from all these things. And I mean, and this is the thing that your audience has noticed. And like, maybe your audience doesn't notice exactly or notices later or less or whatever else. Like, you know, I find it generally doesn't bother me too much. I'm not like triggered by any of it, but it's definitely noticeable over time, all of the choices that are being made rather consistently and the ways in which it's watering down the sauce. Like, you know, Emily Blunt says when she sees strong female at the top of her script, she's just like, all right, I'm done. I don't want to deal with this strong female stuff. And I mean, really, like that, they ruined the Echo character by making her this super butch character. Yeah, like Echo was soft and cool. And like I said, in the David Mack art. I remember her being at a piano and playing the piano, listening to the music, and she was always in like almost Spider-Man-esque, but like female Spider-Man poses, you know, just like where her, she was just very sort of subtle and gentle. And that was what made her character compelling, because she was mute and she was soft and gentle. And they made her just butch. Like, why? There's plenty of other characters who were all butch. Like why does this one have to be too? All of these things, this consistent pattern of sort of weirdness with how you're treating the men and how you're upgrading the women in ways that are just not helping the cause. That's it. Not helping the cause. Women are great. Men are great. We're all great. Like, I mean, like, for me, you know, I have a spiritual perspective on these things, because I've come to understand that reincarnation is a real thing. I've read some interesting books. There's a book called Many Lives, Many Masters. Highly recommend it. Made my whole family like believers, because it was just like, whoa. And it's something that you can go dig into. Very, very cool. But you know, that notion of reincarnation means that you're going to be a girl and you're going to be a boy and you're going to be black and you're going to be white and you're going to be Asian and you're going to be everything. So, I mean, let's just get over it. I mean, and like, you're going to be all the animals and you're going to be the trees and like, we're going to be everything. Our energy will be recycled into more things. Perpetually, the energy will go around. Clearly, there's no need to really make this so terrible. And the science fiction fantasy community, we're generally the people who have been deprived of women the most, you know, because we haven't necessarily been pursuing women as our sole pursuit, which is what most of the asshole guys in the universe do. They pursue women. So we have an appreciation for women because we admire them from afar, because we're a little shy, because we're reading our comic books and doing our creative things. But the way they've been doing this has really been just silly. I remember Reginald Hudlin did a run on Black Panther comic books. He wrote many issues of the book. I love Black Panther. Black Panther is one of my favorite characters of all time, like on my top five list. I don't. When people ask me, like, who's your favorite? It's so hard for me to decide. Deadpool, Hulk, Black Panther, She-Hulk. You know, there's a few. Juggernaut. The run that Reggie Hunlid did on Black Panther could best be described as him repeatedly telling the audience how cool Black Panther was. Like, it was almost as if he was like grabbing me by the shoulder going, Black Panther is cool. And there's just, you know, one problem with that. Like, I'm reading Black Panther. Clearly, I think Black Panther's cool. And it was just such a weird thing. He had all these different characters. Luke Cage came and like totally broke his character by just like being like, oh my God, I'm hanging out with the Black Panther. This is so cool. Like, it was just so like, tell me how cool he is instead of showing me how cool he is. Because yeah, the Black Panther is cool. I think of Black Panther as Marvel's Batman. And, you know, not getting Black Panther done like Batman, you know, where he's like just, he's cool and he's showing up and he's mysterious and all those cool things. Like, I love Black Panther for all those reasons. Well, actually, I really love Black Panther because he's a king and he has to, you know, hold himself to like a moral responsibility, but also he has to hold himself responsible to his constituents. And I think that's really an interesting moral conundrum. I like that about the character. So for really pushing females in the wrong way in the Marvel Universe, I think they really just did themselves a great disservice. It is a boys brand. It's a macho brand, you know, to some degree. It's a masculine brand. Bringing all of this, it's not really, you didn't really bring any feminine energy to it. You just sort of shoehorned in a lot of women and made them out-masculine the other masculines and emasculated your men. And that was really what's happened, you know, with the Marvel Universe. I think the emasculation of the Marvel Universe has been the biggest problem. And all of these things have been signed off on by Mr. Iger and his ESG score money. And ESG, if you don't understand, it's like some money that you can get if you are doing things in a societal, in a way that the money would like you to, as far as society is going. And it's major in like total inclusion, perfect, equal inclusion across the board of everything. I don't know about you guys, but like, I just like always like a natural thing, you know? I mean, like, I don't want all the black guys taken out of the NBA so that it can be, you know, inclusion NBA. I want the best basketball players to play. I want the best football players. I want the best comic book writers. I want the best filmmakers. Don't we want the best and not just this forced inclusion thing? I so hate when the government just gets involved in things and like this ESG money, the way it gets implemented. You know, there are ways to do this. Unfortunately, there's not a lot of John Lasseter's in the world. You know, I could guide you through how you do more inclusion and you do more of these things, and you don't necessarily piss off the conservatives and you don't necessarily aggravate anybody and you make everybody happy. You know, there are ways to figure it out, but oftentimes it doesn't get done elegantly. It just kind of gets like really overdone and force-fed, and lots of press releases about all the ists and phobes out there. And I mean, like, they told the actress, the black actress who played Reva, that she should expect racist backlash. And I mean, the racist backlash, I mean, it's like, just because there's a few people online who are jerks, like, one, that doesn't mean that they are representative of the fandom in any way, shape, or form. That doesn't mean that they like who's to say they're random people on Twitter. I mean, it's just so crazy that they empower these voices. But, you know, that's really what I wanted to talk about here today, of like, you know, it's like this stupid PR game that they've played, you know, because with Reva, I don't remember the actress's name. But like, you know, with that character, they were basically set up to take any negative press that they had for the series they were making and spin it into a public relations story of, oh, you know, there's these racist people on the internet and, you know, they're trying to bomb our movie and, you know, they're going to criticize us or whatever, but it's not true. This is a losing strategy. You know, the people who make the industry, you know, the people who make the world go round in comics and in toys and in merchandising, we keep up on things because we love this world. We love this industry. So we understand what's going on. And when you're like telling this PR game and like you're basically like you're peeing on me and telling me it's raining, you know, like, no, that's definitely urine. You're not doing the thing. I can see the fans are not liking this new material that you're putting out. They're buying less pins and they're buying less action figures and they're going to the parks less. Like, you know, one of the big things that Bob Iger has been responsible for throughout his run over here has been like really great numbers and profit and whatnot for the parks. Have you been to the parks? There's a reason why there's great profit for the parks. It's like, it's everything is paid for. Like, I mean, like everything is extra money and very expensive, and the tickets for the park to get into the park. And I mean, the way that they've treated, you know, annual pass holders and pushed people out and Disneyland and various things, you know, they've really been poor public relations on that front. They were making good money, but now apparently even that, like, they're starting to screw the pooch there, because they did all this Star Wars stuff and they made it all the new Star Wars and people weren't digging the new Star Wars. And there's another one. You brought in Kathleen Kennedy, and I mean, I guess this is the thing, like, you know, he's not a creative person, so he lets the creative people do what they do. And then he's just like, what the hell are you doing? A little bit afterwards, he's like, oh my God, Kathy Kennedy, what are you doing? What are you doing? You've spent how much on Indiana Jones? Oh my goodness. What are you doing? I mean, Star Wars, Indiana Jones, Willow. They tax wrote off Willow. They made it, and for those of you who don't know, there was a TV series that they did that was on Disney Plus, and they pulled it down from Disney Plus and wrote it off as a tax write off. That's how badly it did. The signs have been there. The nose of the plane leaning down. People, you know, like nerd pundits have been calling this stuff out, and the mainstream has had all of their noisiest people who like to talk about comic books and geek culture stuff, but don't actually buy them, but don't actually read these things, don't actually enjoy the stuff, or are just, maybe they do, but they're just, they don't care because the money is green. But it's just, it's so sad to me. It's so sad to me that all of these brands that I love, I mean, like, I love Disney. I love Disney, and they've, like, what do they do now that defines Disney? Disney remakes their animated classics into live-action remakes that are usually, like, sort of bizarre. Like, I tend to feel like most of them that I've seen, and I've been honestly avoiding them, but they just seem like somebody puppeteering a corpse, like a Weekend at Bernie style. It's like, hey, look, it's me, Pinocchio. Hey, Pinocchio, it's Pinocchio's corpse. Put that down, Disney. Stop it. You're defiling his corpse. They are. They're defiling the corpse of greatness. You know, it's one thing if you can get a great creative team or get the right... It's all about creative people, guys. Like, you don't just willy-nilly green light an arbitrary, like, let's just remake all the... Like you need to get the right team. A team of people who are going to adapt these things, you know, over and over and over, and they're bringing the right things to the table, and, you know, and if they succeed, great. If they don't succeed, maybe you rejigger, you get some new people, whatever it might be. But, like, you work until you get the right team of creative people, as opposed to Disney seems to think, oh, just snap the name Jungle Book on it, and, cool. You know, everybody will go check it out. Just snap. It's a branded name. Everybody knows it. We're going to go see. But clearly, that idea is losing momentum. It's losing momentum for that stuff. The Star Wars universe, I mean, is straight up burnt to a cinder. There are so many people. One of my best friends, Aaron Sparrow, I talk about him all the time. He's huge, 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 huge Star Wars fan. He's done. He's done. And he's not the only one. There's so many people out there who were big Star Wars fans, and they just can't even do it anymore. When they think about Star Wars, it makes them sad. Like, that's really the sad thing. When they think about Star Wars, it makes them sad. They're not even angry about it. They're just sort of like, man, there was such promise here. And, you know, for people who stuck with the novels and the comic books, there were so many great stories to adapt. And, like, you know, they're kind of loosely adapting Thrawn right now. But there was really great stories to adapt from the Heir to the Empire thing. And I haven't read these things myself. I've just been told about them by some of my friends who are big fans. And they when I heard about them, I was just like, that sounds pretty dope. I'd like to hear that story told. And I wonder what George Lucas's plan for the trilogy was that Iger and Miss Kennedy scrapped. You know, they've done the Muppets finally some justice a little bit with this Electric Mayhem show. I've been enjoying it. I still haven't watched the whole thing yet, but it's great. If you're a Muppets fan, go watch the Electric Mayhem. But he put everything, as everybody else did, into the streaming wars. Bob Iger did. He put his name on the Disney Plus bit of, like, here's me, and this is going to be my definitive thing. But all these years later, after the streaming wars have come and gone, like, and we're just getting back into a new situation, it's just, it's so clear that this person has let his politics get in the way of profitability for the company, and all the people in the business should be very aggravated with him. Me personally, I don't like divisive politics. I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. You know, I'm in the middle somewhere. I have individual thoughts on all things. I have friends who are Republicans. I have friends who are Democrats. Many friends who are none of the above or whatever. It doesn't matter to me. But divisive politics, politics that separate the audience into groups, and destroy the shared experience that was there yesterday when there was no partisan message going through all of this geek culture loveliness. And I include, you know, Disney animation and all these things, like, you know, that, like, that's a fandom. I am a Disney fan. It's an absolute fandom. And there's so many fandoms within it. I mean, like, I'm a huge Darkwing Duck fanboy. Yeah, I love that. I love the Rescue Rangers. You know, and even the newer ones. Like, I love cartoons, and I love the characters of Chip and Dale, you know, from back in the day and the earlier cartoons that were made, and Mickey and Goofy. I love all those old Goofy cartoons. Like, I'm a huge Disney fan, and I'm like a Disney kind of history buff and historian. I love Walt and his vision for the future. You know, he was a real inspiration. He was the whole reason why Disney is Disney was because of him, of Walt Disney and his vision. He was a visionary. He was looking towards the future. I know a lot of things have tried to, like, come out recently and paint him as some sort of closet racist or whatever else, but at the end of the day, that man talked about a brighter tomorrow all the time. I mean, you go to Disneyland, and what are the many lands? Tomorrowland. Go to Tomorrowland. Like, you know, that dude was a future thinker, a futurist. I love Walt Disney. I always will. And, like, I really look up to him immensely. I was very happy with Bob Iger when he first bought these brands. You know, I thought that was wise to get Marvel. I was a little nervous that the Star Wars brand would overshadow the Marvel stuff, and I didn't feel like he needed the Star Wars if he had Marvel. But it clearly, the whole thing has just been diminishing returns. I mean, like, what do we have to show for it in the Star Wars universe? We've got the Andor series, which nobody watched, which was really good. We got that Rogue One movie, which is awesome. And then we've got their trilogy, which stinks on ice as a trilogy. I mean, like, seriously, like watch all three of those movies back to back and tell me how great it is. Tell me that you weren't, like, ripping your skin off to get out of the room because there's no cohesive anything to any of it. You know, I mean, it's just three little installments of stupidity. I'm sure George Lucas was not happy. And the Solo movie, which was okay, you know, I think when you bring in good creative people to do something and then you fire them midway through and bring in some other good creative people to try to write the ship, you know, it's just never a good recipe. Joss Whedon coming in for Justice League clearly wasn't a good recipe. There's times to stick with the horse you're riding, and there's times to change horse, and it's called way earlier in the process. So I don't know what happened behind the scenes there, but I mean, this is the thing. And then what, we switch over to our TV shows. We get two great seasons of Mandalorian, and then we get Boba Fett disaster. Obi-Wan, which I just thought was so stupid for the most part. I'm sorry. I know some people liked Obi-Wan a little bit, and I know some are enjoying Ahsoka. I always want to say Osaka, Japan. Ahsoka. I have to say it now to make sure I say it right. Ahsoka. But I skipped Ahsoka because I hated Obi-Wan, and I just feel like it was very infantile and stupid. And I expect more from these things. I want really great stories to be told in these universes. There are situations, premises, whatever you want to call it, that exist in those universes that are really interesting and deserve to be explored. They're not scratching that itch, though, for me. You know, and I tend to feel like a lot of the people who they're scratching that itch for, you guys just have a little bit of a low standard for how great these things can be. And I'm not like trying to diss you. I just mean, I have such a high standard for how great these things could be. It's very hard for me to look at, you know, a six and be like, oh yeah, it's a nine. Like, no, I know what a nine looks like. I know what a 10 looks like. I got to blow my nose. Okay, let me look at my notes here. Bob Iger and Disney, a masterclass in losing the PR game by playing it too hard. How to lose the PR game. Quiet the noise. He already said that. It doesn't mean it. Yeah, no, he doesn't mean it. Taika Waititi. Oh, yeah. So we got the latest comment from Taika Waititi. And I love Taika as a creative person. He's amazing. But he needs to shut the fuck up when it comes to Thor and his disrespect to the mythology here. It's... You got to be a reader. And like, you know, you can bring in Taika to do the thing, but you got to give him the issues that you want to adapt. You got to go, hey, we want to adapt a version of this story, something in this vein. You know, you got to give some guideposts to these people. He said, and it was something to the effect of, I'm sorry that I didn't make it exactly like the comic book. How about you just read the comic book? And you're mishearing us, Taika. What we said was, what you did was shit. What you did was shit. What you did was not only shit, it was a mockery of the thing that we love. So you did a bad job. And, you know, and Ragnarok is great, but you really like screwed the pooch with Love and Thunder. And we wanted to see something that was more commensurate with the comic book depiction of the character. You know, there's a reason why these stories are told for so long featuring this character and told a certain way, because we like it. People like it, so we keep showing up to see it. And the Thor in your movie was not Thor. So, I mean, it's really just like, it's such a silly thing of like, oh, well, go read the comic. No, like, I want the people that have not read the comics to be able to get that great experience that we get from the comics. Why can't you educate yourself enough with what you're fucking doing to give people the experience that they're getting from the comics? Because people, the audience, are getting cheated. Everybody's getting cheated. And I mean, really, that's the thing for me. You know, Mia DaCosta, she had a whole bunch of quotes. She's the director of the... what is it? Not the Elementals, the Marvels movie, which, oh my goodness, that movie is set up for disaster. I mean, Disney just like, they've just got more and more disasters on the way. Like the Echoes television series and the Agatha Christie, or what is it? What is her name? The witch? I don't even know. The Catherine Kahn character. Agatha Harkness. Ugh. Yeah. No, well, Mia DaCosta, she was basically, the whole thing just made it all seem so petty and silly, and she's like running around backstage and she's pitching him on stories and stuff, and like, I'm pitching him on some things, and he's pitching, and she's clearly not a comic reader, so what's she pitching them on? She's pitching him on things that she'd like to do with the character personally? Like, these are supposed to be adaptations of the things we love, not, hey, Director's Playground, starring whoever the hell wants to make superhero movies. Like, no, of course, if you ask who wants to get this job directing this superhero movie, everybody's going to raise their hand. That doesn't mean you hire everybody. You hire the right people to come do this stuff. And I mean, it just really perpetually, I just feel like they're not hiring the right people. And Mia DaCosta does not sound like she is going to be any different. She seemed to think that her new movie is quite different in how silly it is. But I think we've been getting plenty of silly in all of the Marvel Universe offerings to date. I mean, like for me, America Chavez's inclusion in Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness is like, oh my God, she is such an eyesore. I can't stand her freaking costume in that movie. It's such a cool, it would be such a beautiful looking movie if she wasn't standing in every freaking panel of that film. It's just like, ugh. And like at the end of the movie when Charlize Theron shows up in the great Clea costume, oh man, and you're like, oh cool. Imagine somebody who looked like this was next to Doctor Strange for the whole movie. Why did we have America Chavez introduced into the freaking Marvel Universe that this early? I have no idea other than the inclusion and all the other stuff that I was talking about. Like, these are so many mistakes. It's just like so much stuff that they could, like, I mean, seriously, it's just like they could have been laughing all the way to the bank. It's just ridiculous. The failure to capitalize on Han, Luke, and Leia in a scene together before they started dying. You know, like, I mean, it's just like, it kills me. It kills me all the lost potential in the things that I love, starting with the Muppets. So I said, lying about profits. Oh, yeah. I mean, they're constantly playing this numbers game with all these streaming services. You know, Netflix doesn't exactly tell you its number. Nobody tells you their numbers. And I mean, this is the whole thing of why this strike has been going on and them, like, you know, them being a little sketchy about the numbers. I mean, I would love to see a number, see a world where the numbers were transparent, because they would just prove me and my friends right all the time. Because we are your consumer. I am your consumer. You guys are their consumer. You know a little something. And like, don't for a minute make you think that you don't. You know. Like, just as somebody who goes to the store, you have an idea about what is hot at any given moment. You know when Pogs are a thing, or Beanie Babies are a thing, or, you know, whatever the craze of the moment might be. As you get into, you know, more modern things like Poppets and stuff, like you're aware of what's a big game if you're a gamer. You're aware of what's big toys if you're a toy guy. There's a lot of ways to be a little bit of an expert on something simply by being a consumer. So don't sell yourself short out there when all the PR is trying to tell you an opposite of what you know to be true based on what you're seeing in the stores around you. Ahsoka, most recent Samba was right. Oh, like they keep playing this this ratings game they'll have all these PR ways of kind of looking at some of their ratings, and they'll say things in interesting ways to try to make it look like it's better than it is when the ratings aren't good. Like, case in point, right now, Ahsoka's, the ratings are not very good. A lot of people like me have bailed out because of the previous things that they didn't enjoy. And now here you are. And they were saying that, like, you know, the numbers were such and such, and then Samba's TV numbers were reported to be right, which were less than what they were saying. So it's this PR game that they're playing. They have a lot of money, Disney, so they can put a little bit of money. They own all these access media. They own the access media. They've got Marvel. They've got Star Wars. All these things. So they own these people. Everybody wants access to these films. So they basically control the news narrative for all these things, and they have the money to get and power to put things into the trade magazines and all this stuff. And I mean, you know, I follow different trade magazine stuff and different games that are being played by CEOs and stuff, and pissing contests that are going on. And Bob Iger definitely is involved in some of that stuff, as you see what happened with Bob Chapek. If you get a little deeper into some of the things that went on there, clearly there was a little bit of weirdness. I mean, Bob Chapek was fired like late at night while he was at an Elton John concert over the weekend. You know, so like weird kind of behaviors. I don't know if it was over the weekend even, but maybe it was. I'm not sure. I didn't write notes about that before. So let's see. So spend less, make less with Marvel. They're going to make less films, and they're going to spend less on them. Well, spending less on the Marvel movies is a great idea. Focusing more on quality of the Marvel stuff is also a great idea. They've super eroded the interest in their stuff. They're going to have to do, they're going to have to deliver something awesome to get the audience back. And I mean, I think that's just absolutely the truth. Focus on sequels with Pixar. Again, I think this is the most ridiculous thing ever. I think you get John Lasseter back, or you upgrade one of the wonderful creative people who are responsible for some of the greatness at Pixar, like your Peter Doctors or Andrew Stantons. And, you maybe make a studio within Pixar that's focused on making sequels and do like a good sequel at a time and keep focused on Pixar being Pixar. This is basically an admission of Pixar being lost, and you spent all that money on just the IP that it had already generated. And I don't know if you're as right as you think you are about how evergreen it's going to be just remaking Toy Story films forever. Maybe. I mean, I actually really did enjoy the fourth one okay, but definitely, like, I thought 3 was a really good ending. So, I mean, I was kind of happy to end with 3, but I did enjoy 4. We'll see how this sequel strategy plays off. But in general, I'm not excited about it, and I would rather see Pixar continue to be the studio that it has always been. And what is Disney Animation Studio doing anyway? Where's the next, princess film or whatever else? I mean, you guys brought Fox a while ago, and there were so many things that you could have done to really make that a big deal. Like, Anastasia is an animated film, a classic with Meg Ryan in it, and it's an awesome one that you now own through Fox. Like, why not re-release it into theaters and clean the animation and do a little thing and say reintroduce Anastasia to the princess, the Disney Princess Library? Like, that would have been really dope. There were so many things that could have been done. I mean, they have the Aliens and Predator now. And granted, just like, I think Disney doesn't know what to do with some of these Fox things, because it's like, we've got the Aliens and Predator now. What are we supposed to do? They were given to Marvel. Marvel Comics has been publishing some Alien and Predator stuff, and I mean, I think having some real fun with it. Aliens and Predator in the comics are just always super, super fun crossovers with various superheroes and whatnot. So it is kind of cool to see that as a possibility of them getting into the Marvel or the DC universe. Let's see. Problems in Florida, staying in politics. Oh, that's the other thing. That whole, the thing that they kept calling the Don't Say Gay bill, which is not really fair to the bill. It was a parental rights bill. And I mean, this is the whole thing that I'm talking about to begin with. It was a whole thing about second grade or whatever, just not introducing sex, a conversation about sex into the thing. And I don't want to get into an argument about some people's partisan bit, but I looked into it at the time, and it was much different than they were presenting it as. And I believe in parents' rights to say, no, can you please keep sex out of the classroom until my kids are like teenagers or something, which is appropriate. So Disney got right in the middle of all of this parental rights bill thing, and I'm only talking about this because I'm saying it's not black and white. It's not something that is not partisan. It is a partisan issue. It is up for debate, and it's not just fringe people. I'm a parent, and I don't understand why we're having such early conversations about sex. Like, it makes me nervous. Why are we grooming children for sex? We are. Why are we doing that? I don't think that's a good idea. No, let's wait to introduce ideas of that on of any variety until later. That's what we do in our home. It doesn't matter if it's straight sex or gay sex or what. I don't care what kind of sex it is. We introduce that later to our children when they're becoming like teenagers and stuff. That's when that conversation gets brought up, not super, super early, So this is a very partisan conversation here, because I'm a leaning Democrat, but I'm not a Democrat. I'm in the center, but people would say I have a Republican standpoint here on this thing this is what I'm saying. It's not so black and white. They keep trying to demonize the fandom. Oh, there's racists who are attacking people for not liking Star Wars. Like, they don't like the Star Wars. There's not racism. Like, they keep trying to PR all this stuff into making it about how evil and mean the fans are. The fans aren't evil or mean. The fans don't like what you've been doing. And if you would have just listened and course corrected sooner, you wouldn't be dealing with the Armageddon that you're dealing with right now. I mean, you know, Disney's stock is, I think, like half of what it was just, you know, like in its prime just a bit ago. I mean, it's been dropping significantly for a long time now. It's so funny. They put out a PR statement about Elemental. And I mean, this is like part of what inspired this losing the PR game. You know, Elemental, 17th highest grossing Pixar film of all time. It's the 17th highest grossing, guys. See? It's not a bomb. It's actually the 17th highest grossing. 17th. There we go. Thank God for small successes. Pixar sequel studio, and Anastasia. Family stuff, no sex. Chapek making him look bad. Iger set him up on the Scarlett Johansson lawsuit. Yeah, you know, there's reason to believe. The whole way in which that Scarlett Johansson lawsuit went down, that was a bit strange. I remember people talking about it at the time, how rare that was, that like it would be this PR thing. Usually all these things are handled behind closed doors. Nobody wants the PR thing. And, you know, recently in some of the things that I follow, the Underground, you know, news says that actually that was Iger orchestrating things with his friends in Hollywood to make Chapek look bad. So he's been playing all these politic things, and like he's come in to save the company from what Chapek did. Chapek didn't do anything. Chapek was trying to right the ship. He'd only been around for 2 years. He inherited a mess from you. He inherited a failure from you that you weren't acknowledging. You didn't acknowledge that you were failing. You were, PR game, big PR. We all knew you were failing. All the fans knew. We were like, you are in for it, man. And here we are a few years later as you come back to right the ship that Chapek, like, you've made him your fall guy. But, like, you're not fooling anybody. This whole thing, I mean, like, it's just, this is a PR disaster. Your public relations for you as a Democratic political candidate in the future, I mean, maybe you'll still make them happy, but you've demonstrated that you're inept. You weren't able to actually handle everything, and you're not a good political candidate as far as I'm concerned, because you're partisan. You're somebody who's divisive, and you're willing to push the buttons of the people because you think that you're right and self-righteous or whatever. Like, that's not good. This isn't good leadership. This isn't a good CEO for Disney. Holy crap. I mean, like, would anybody have ever called Disney a tool of evil? It's a wholesome and good company. Like, we couldn't have just kept that in the world. There's plenty of places where, you know, sexual inclusion can come from besides films directed specifically at children. It's silly to me to push this hard. And I mean, if we're talking about some of the strongest of this that we've got, it's like Strange Worlds maybe. And you know, didn't bother me at all. Doesn't bother me at all, you know, for like my kids to see that to some degree. But it's more about that this is a bit of a hot button topic, and you've gotten yourself into the fire for the hot button topic instead of just being positive in various ways. You're actually becoming divisive, and you don't want to be divisive. You want to be a source of relief for everybody in all of these matters. And really, like, it's just the truth. Well, I don't know. I really think that Bob Iger has just done himself in from just years of believing his own hype. And, you know, and I think he's right about getting out of the way and letting creative people do the thing. But what he's learned is most of the people in Hollywood who rise to the top are not creative geniuses. They are politickers. The really great creative people, they tend to be a little bit shyer and a little bit more doing their creative thing. And they're not fighting for that power position. You know, you have to find those people. who won't fight for that power position and give them the power position because you see the merit and the creativity that they're offering. There are so many wonderful people, you know, that they could have brought up and be pushing up, you know, at the, these companies to bring them the material that they could have from the Disney brands. But honestly, I am very nervous for the future of Disney. I shouldn't say I'm nervous because I'm sure it'll all shake out in one way or another. And maybe it'll shake out in a wonderful way. Like maybe the Jim Henson Company will buy back the Muppets or maybe, you know, some other company will buy the Muppets and they'll hire the right people to handle that stuff and produce some new stuff. There's just so many things that can be done with all of this intellectual property, and Disney is not doing it. Anyway, you can follow me on Twitter. I am CoolestGeekJBS, and you can email me. I am JesseBlaze@JesseSnyder.com. If you haven't been listening to the Saturday episodes that I put out, I've done some really cool things. These past two Saturdays, I did reading for Batman. I might do reading for Superman this week. I'm not sure. But I've done, if you want to get into Batman comics, all the best Batman stories to read, go check it out. It's really great. I did a two-parter, but really the first part, that'll keep you going for years. So go find that and, you know, check out more episodes of the Coolest Geek Alive podcast. I love you guys. Thank you for listening. Thank you for helping us continue to grow. Sorry if my energy was a little, because I'm a little sick this week or whatever. But yeah, please join me again next this Saturday and next Wednesday for another fabulous episode of the Coolest Geek Alive. It's my favorite part.
Coolest alive. It's gonna be fucking awesome. Stay with your tribe. It's gonna be fucking awesome. Revenge of the Geeks. It's gonna be fucking awesome. Week after weeks. It's gonna be fucking awesome. Laughing with you. It's gonna be fucking awesome. And crying sometimes too. It's gonna be fucking awesome. Spilling it out. It's gonna be fucking awesome. Making you shout.
You've been listening to Coolest Geek Alive with me, your host, Jesse Blaze Snyder. Don't forget to rate, comment, and subscribe for more excellent geek culture content. Thanks for listening.
Talking some shit. It's gonna be fucking awesome. Living your shit. My voice gonna be fucking awesome. Food in our mouth. It's gonna be fucking awesome. Get in the mouth. It's gonna be fucking awesome. Tell all your friends. It's gonna be fucking awesome. Call right on text. It's gonna be fucking awesome. Raising the bar.
Fucking awesome. Fucking awesome. It's gotta be fucking awesome. Just wait. You'll see. You'll all see.
The Podcast Playground. All right.